This morning, we are going to think about blessings, or to be exact, the meaning of being blessed. Of course, in the Christian context, and in the lives of Christ's followers. Let me ask you this. How many of you consider yourself blessed? Raise your hand. Boy, you don't need my sermon this morning. How many of you not? Well, you know, it's a little bit embarrassing, isn't it, to admit if that's the case. I have a wonderful, you know, follower of Christ, Lily. Whenever she cries out, consider it like, amen. To that question, the famous answer would be, it all depends. Don't you love that phrase? Whoever came up with sentence, it all depends. I learned it when I was learning English in Korea. I never heard of that expression until I came to America. Everybody saying, it all depends. I love it. It all depends. It truly depends on how you perceive and understand what blessings are or what blessedness means. For my own journey to find out the definition of the word blessed, I looked up in two places, Greek dictionary and English dictionary. Why Greek dictionary? Because today's text, Matthew 5, was originally written in Greek. That's why. So I looked up the Greek word for blessed, as Jesus started blessed, by the way, which is Makarioi. You don't have to remember this. So I traced it all the way back to Homer, the Greek, you know, person who used this word to describe the immortals of Mount Olympus. He was describing, using this word, the happy and blessed gods on Mount Olympus. And then I realized all of a sudden, oh, we must understand blessings in context, right? That is, with God in mind. Beginning with the gods, so that's what I discovered. In other words, we cannot separate God and blessings or blessings from God from each other. And then I went into the English definition of the word blessing, which confirms my discovery with the Greek dictionary. The Oxford Dictionary defines the word blessing in the following two ways. The first one, it says, I quote, the favor of God, prayer for God's favor, thanks to God before or after a meal. If you pay attention, God, God, God. God, God's favor and thanks to God. The second entry says, I quote, something that one is glad of, something that brings comfort and happiness. Today, the world, the people in the world understand and use the word blessed or blessings as David pointed out, fortunate or lucky. That's how we, most of us understand blessings. Now here's my own understanding of the blessing based upon God's word. After all this research, blessing, I would say, is anything, any event, or any person that brings one person closer to God and helps that person to experience God. Let me repeat again. Blessing is anything or any event or any person that brings us closer to God. In that regard, some successes in the world can be viewed by God as a disaster, and total failures in human eyes can be viewed by God as a disguised blessing. We all know the expression disguised blessing. The bottom line is this. Whatever brings us one step closer to God is a blessing. Whatever takes us away from God, further away from God, is not a blessing. Keep that in mind. And I'm going to point out two things that will help us to, or keep us in right perspective when it comes down to blessings. The first one is this. Ask yourself, whose definition of blessings you follow. Are you following God's definition of blessings or that of the world? Of course, as Christ followers, we are to follow God's teaching, not the teaching of the world. If we follow the world, Christ says, we are not disciples of Christ. Now, here's the difference that I'm making between the two schools, the definition and understanding of the world on blessings and God's understanding of blessings. The believer's blessings are determined by a never-changing God and His good will. The world's blessings are shaped by ever-shifting circumstances. Here's one good story for you to remember. Story of old man and the horse. How many of you heard of that story? I spoke about this, folks, at least a couple of times in this church. Well, to remind you one more time, there was a man in China who was living with his only son together. Old man. One day in his front yard, he saw a beautiful black stallion standing. So he thought, someone must have lost this horse. And the horse, you know, ended up coming to my place. So he spread the word, has anyone lost this beautiful, you know, stallion? Well, no one in the village says they lost, so the finder is the keeper. So he kept the horse, considering himself very fortunate. A few days later, his son was curious enough to try it out. He rode on the horse, went out to the field, and guess what? He fell off, and he broke his leg. Permanent injury. Started limping. The father felt so sad. Oh, all because of this horse. My son would have been perfectly fine if the horse didn't appear. Well, what happens? 2 months later, there was a war that broke out in China. And every able man from each household supposed to serve in the military. And guess what? His son got exempt from military service due to his handicap condition. The father felt, oh, how fortunate I am. And then, about 6 months later, the horse disappeared. The father thought, loss, unfortunate. And then, 2 weeks later, the horse came back again with another horse. He thought, oh, how fortunate I am. You see the pattern? A roller coaster of fortune and misfortune. Ask yourself whose definition of blessings you follow. Second thing that will keep us in right perspective is this. Learn to see blessings as God does, not as the world does. If you read Psalm chapter 10, verse 3 says this, "Do not call the arrogant or greedy blessed, or you will revile the Lord." Oh, wait a minute. If you envy someone who is arrogant, who is so greedy and filthy rich, and you want to be like that, and even call them blessed, God says, you are reviling me. I don't want to do that. Second thing for you to consider is this, the event of crucifixion. In the world's point of view, cross was a total failure. Did you know that the cross 2,000 years ago was a capital punishment? Not everyone got it. Only the worst criminal ever, those are the ones who get that punishment. It was a total failure and utter disaster and a public disgrace and shame. No one wanted that. In God's view, however, it was the execution of perfect salvation plan through His unconditional love for humanity, and it was Christ's victory over sin and death. So you may wonder, how does God see blessings in my life? He does see your blessings from an eternal perspective, not from a temporal perspective. For instance, we all know that material possessions last only 80 years. And that's why Jesus says in Matthew 4, man, meaning humanity, shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Same Jesus says this, one's life, listen, one's life does not lie in the abundance of materials. There's a story of the rich fool in Luke chapter 12. It's a parable in which we all catch some kind of lesson behind, right? Jesus says there was a rich man. He was doing well in his business, typical in those days farming. So he had a barn. He store every single, you know, produce that he could save up in that barn. And one year he was doing even better. So he has no place to store all this, you know, excess produce. So he decided, I'm going to tear down this old barn and I'm going to make a bigger one and fill it up. He did. On the night that he finished everything, he talked to himself, my soul, you did well. You deserve rest and plenty of fun and eat and drink and relax. The story goes on, the same night God appeared to him and says, you fool. I noticed that in the Bible, New Testament, not many a time Jesus or God calls someone, you fool, but he did. You fool, if I call you home today, who's going to enjoy your wealth down there? And Jesus concludes the story, it will be like that. For someone who is very rich for himself or herself, but very poor for God. What about the teaching in the world? It says, be rich by all means. The more is the happier and the better. You know, I majored in economics, and one of the foundation they call axioms, upon which they build a whole theory of economics. One of the axioms in the economics is this, the more, the happier. Well, that's not really reality, because when you're hungry, you desire food. When you start eating, feels good and tastes good and so forth. When you're full, your stomach, you don't want to have anything more. You cannot continually take more and more and more. But that's what the foundation of economics, folks. Capitalism, if you will. We need to learn to see blessings as God does. Always look at your life's blessings with the end in mind. Now, I think we are ready to go over the 8 blessings that Jesus listed in today's text. They call it Beatitudes. Depending on how many times you count the word blessed, there are actually 9 times of blessed, but, you know, I'm going to just put them together in 8. You can follow me in your bulletin as well. Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, if you read Luke chapter 6, talking about same Beatitudes, it skips the 2 words in spirit. It simply says, blessed are the poor. Now, so I'm going to focus on that. You know, being rich for self brings us a lot of unnecessary headaches and heartaches. You don't have to listen, or you don't have to watch the drama of the wealthy people. Furthermore, Jesus warns it's extremely difficult for the rich people to enter the kingdom of God. I'm not making this up, folks. We need to take seriously when he says extremely difficult for them to enter. I would take it very seriously. This is what he says. Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. He's not saying that it is impossible for them. It is saying that it's going to be difficult. By the way, the eye of a needle was a historic gate in those days. For the camel to go through, the camel had to kneel down and just, you know, wade through. It's not an easy thing, but they were able to do it. It seems to me the deadly trap for the rich people is this, self-reliance, which means not wanting God in their lives. The attitude such as, money takes care of everything I need, so why do I need God? I'm going to leave the person unnamed. I would tell you, you'd know who that is. One of the very rich people in the world. Once he said, I quote, it is a waste of time to go to church on Sunday morning. That's what happens when you're so self-reliant. Be rich for God, Jesus says, not for yourself. And he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The second blessing Jesus says here, blessed are those who mourn, M-O-U-R-N. Of course, he does not promote mourning to be blessed. You don't mourn so that you may be blessed. No, that's besides the point. The point is, Jesus rather speaks to those who are in grief right now, mourning over the loss of their loved ones. He says to them, you are not alone. God is with you. God will comfort you. And to have God near as your comforter is a blessing. You see, change of the perspective. By the way, have you noticed that the best way to comfort the grieving is to say no words? How many of you noticed that? Yes. You don't have to try to comfort them. Oh, by the way, you know. No. Just stop saying anything. Just be there and your presence will comfort them. Likewise, God indeed comforts those who mourn with what? His presence and his peace. Blessed are those who mourn because they shall be comforted by God. That's what Jesus says. Oh, by the way, I hope you recognize that each time we go through each blessing, always going back to and related to God, each blessing. The next one, Jesus says, blessed are the gentle or meek, depending on which translation. You know, some people in the world consider gentleness or meekness as weakness because to them it means a doormat. Everybody tramples upon them. However, the deeper meaning of being gentle and meek here is to put trust in God. Not everyone could do it. Because if you feel strong, Samson, you talk about, they rely on their self, not God. To such people who are meek and gentle, Jesus says, you will reign with me. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Not a mighty man. Jesus continues, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Have you noticed that justice and righteousness go together in hand in God? The throne of God has inscription. One side it says justice, the other side it says righteousness. They go together. And those who are hungry and thirsty for God's righteousness and justice, God says, they will be satisfied by God. God is their everlasting source of spiritual food and drink and satisfaction. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. The next one, Jesus says, blessed are the merciful. Have you noticed that God will grant his mercy back to those people who are merciful? I've seen some individuals in the past that I will never be able to forgive, or I will never forgive, that's the right sentence they were using, I will never forgive a certain individuals in my life because they wronged me. You don't understand, you don't know what they have done to me, they say. Well, all I want to say to them is this, just remember, God cannot, even though he wants to, he cannot show his mercies and forgive your sins unless you show mercy to your trespassers first. That's a conditional, folks. Always remember. Jesus says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Next one, blessed are those who are pure in heart. Have you noticed that every form of evil comes from the heart? You know, nowadays, I'm always shocked with all kinds of forms of evil. Thanks, Edna, she shared that something good in our society. But I just, mind-boggling, how could people so cruel and so wicked? I'm sure you all of you go through that one once in a while, too. But one thing I'm telling you, they didn't turn into such a wicked person just overnight. Yesterday they were saint and overnight they became such an evil person. No. You know, it happened gradually over time. It all began with what? One single seed of evil in their hearts. That's how it began. Always begins. Every form of evil begins in their hearts. Malice, adultery, greed, and envy, and hate, you name it. You know, the heaven is the place for those whose hearts are pure, because in heaven there is no evil. No evil is allowed in the presence of God. Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Next one, blessed are the peacemakers. They're blessed not because they will win the Nobel Peace Prize with $1 million. That's not the reason why they're blessed. Rather, they are blessed with the privilege to take the gospel of peace to the people in the world, to represent the God of peace to the world. That's why they are blessed. Blessed are the peacemakers, Jesus says, for they shall be called sons of God, daughters of God. The last one. Blessed are those who are persecuted in Jesus in verse 10 and 11. Why are they blessed? Persecution? How could you call it persecution? You know, the blessing. Not because of the suffering what they go through, but because they will be in the presence of God forever because of the persecution. You see, no one, you and me, wants to go through abuse and mockery and insults and imprisonment and torture and even death because of Jesus. But when we suffer for Jesus' sake, God would be very proud of us. Oh, they don't mind going through this all because of my name. Listen to what Jesus says. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when the people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. Do you believe Jesus promised that you will have eternal life? You will be in the presence of God? I do. Do you also believe his word saying, rejoice and be glad in times of persecution because your reward in heaven is great? I believe sincerely in his promises. So folks, you had it. 8 blessings of Jesus. And for closing, I'm going to say 3 action points for you to remember. First one, be rich for God, not for yourself. Count your blessings as God does, not as the world does. Fix your eyes on the eternal reward in heaven. Remember, every blessing is connected to God's kingdom and his righteousness. Be rich for God, not for yourself. Second point, be content and be thankful for what you have. You may not have a 6-figure salary job, but rather learn to abide within your income and not get into debt. You may have some health issues, but let me tell you, being thankful to God for what you have every day will improve your health too. Third, and most importantly, trust in God, not in money or government or any system. He knows what you need, and he will be faithful to take care of your needs. Best blessing is this: God is with us. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, sometimes we forget who we are and what we are called for, and sometimes we find ourselves choosing the wrong path, following the world, especially when it comes down to blessings. We humbly ask you, Lord, to keep us in right perspective. Help us to see everything, especially blessing, as you see, not as the world teaches us, not as the world even dictates us, but as in an eternal perspective. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.